Well, David Suzuki is back in Australia after a long break, here to talk about The Legacy, his final book. But does David Suzuki remember what he was doing this month, 35 years ago? Not quite. Here's a big fat clue.
It turns out that there are 20 million people dyeing their hair and these chemicals can get through the head, and so I think it's really quite a serious thing.
Dr. Bruce Ames on the possible link between hair dyes and cancer.
There is the idea of the chosen people. And hell, I was 17, I believed it.
Dr. Martin Samoilov on biological and chemical warfare. Good evening, this is Quirks and Quarks. I'm David Suzuki.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you know that was Quirks and Quarks number one?
I didn't know I had Marty Samoilov on that one. Wow.
And
that's when the science show started that
we
year.
We started in August. You started in October. There's a slight correction to your book. In your book it says 1974. It's not. It's 1975.
It's 1975. That's right, because I went to Nature of Things in 79. That's
and right. You came out of the lab. Had you done much broadcasting before?
The first television series I was involved in was in 1962. So that's how far back it goes. Radio was really my second experience. I had started off in television. I found that radio was the medium that suits me the best. I really love radio. So when I did another series this summer called The Bottom Line, I was so happy to be back in that medium. Television is such an artificial medium, you know, it's so highly controlled, every second is important. With radio, it's a much warmer, spontaneous, well, you know, that's why you do the science
show. Well, the only trouble is I've continued doing the science show for 35 years, and you, on the other hand, have been moving back and forth to writing, to radio, to television. What was the response, though, going back to Quirks, when you first started that magnificent program?
It was immediate. You know, it was interesting. I talked to one of the PR people at the University of British Columbia where I was teaching, and he said, "You're crazy." He said, you're just not going to get enough material to fill an hour show every week. So I was quite nervous about that, but what I found very quickly was we could have done an hour show a day. There was no shortage of information. And the challenge, of course, is to make it not only understandable, but exciting and interesting. And that, it turned out, was also quite easy to do. So the response was immediate. We got a very good audience right away. And they moved us after 1 year from an evening slot into Saturday at noon. And it stayed there ever since. That's considered prime time on the weekend for radio.
That's where we are on the science show. From the beginning.
Now, interesting, when I left radio, it was because I was given the chance to host a one-hour television program. And while I loved the radio, I felt that the television had a much bigger reach. Now, radio, in fact, in Canada, is reaching as many or more than television. And the reason is the television audience has just exploded because we have satellites and dishes. And now a home in Canada, it's not unusual for them to have 400 channels to choose from, which means, you know, often the remote control, you're clicking down through there. Maybe the Nature of Things will get 2 seconds before they're clicking off to another. So our audience has simply fallen steadily over time, whereas radio has maintained a good, strong audience.
I'm glad to hear it. Before we have an extract from Science Show number one, to see what you think, what's the bottom line about?
The bottom line, I chose the name deliberately because I can't tell you how many business people and politicians have said to me, "Listen, Suzuki, you got to be realistic. The bottom line is the economy. We can't afford to do what you're asking us to do if we don't have a strong growing economy." So the bottom line for politicians and business people is always dictated by the economy. And I say, hey, wait a minute now. The economy is something humans invented. There are other things that emerged from nature, you know, first and second law of thermodynamics, gravity, the speed of light, the biosphere that we inhabit. Those are things you have to live with because they're dictated by nature itself. The idea that the economy would be put over the environment or the ecology is absurd. It's suicidal. And so The Bottom Line was a wonderful show. We weren't hammering people. We just looked at the role that air plays in our life. From the moment you take a breath to the inflation of your lungs and what happens to the molecules in there that circulate through your body. And it was shocking to a lot of people. You know, when you breathe out, carbon dioxide comes out of your nose. And within days, the carbon dioxide from a single breath will be in virtually every leaf and needle of every tree on the planet. I mean, it's just astounding how interconnected we are.
Do you mean it can go from you here sitting in the ABC studio to Canada?
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe not in weeks. But within a year,
yeah,
every needle and leaf will have carbon. This is according to the scientists that we interviewed.
Yeah.
So you start thinking about the nitrogen cycle. You think about the carbon cycle. And you begin to realize, oh my goodness, we are completely integrated into this big complex we call the biosphere. And we tend to think, oh, well, we're different. You know, we're not like other creatures. We create our own habitat. We live in big cities. And the movement from being farming animals in 1900 to being a big city dweller by the year 2000 has been quite remarkable. I mean, in the year 1900, what do you think the population of Australia was? Probably 3 to 4 million. Not a single city with a million people. Now you've got, what, 18 million and...
22 and a half.
Really? Whoa. And we've got and 5 cities with a million people or more. 85% of your population now live in big cities. And so we shift in only 100 years from a farming animal that knows very well, if you don't have good weather and climate, you're screwed. That know how important water is and pollinating insects and plants that fix nitrogen as fertilizer. Farmers know we are a part of nature. 100 years later, we're all living in big cities. And there, what's your greatest priority? It's my job. I need to work. I need to make money to get the things that I want. And that's suicidal.
I want to take you back, and I wanted to play you something from Science Show number 1, which was in August 30th, actually, 1975.
You're really bragging about beating us to the,
you bet,
to the punch, aren't you?
But there's a reason. Let's play.
An examination of the rate at which our larger vertebrates are being reduced in numbers to the extinction point reveals an alarming acceleration. Certainly, there is no clear evidence yet that the new concern for conservation of the world's biota have resulted in substantial improvement in its fate. Of a total of 594 species, 44% of them have left this world as a result of direct overkill by man. 57% of them have become extinct as the result of our massive alterations of the environment that they must have to survive. 27% have perished as a result of our introduction into their habitats of new animal hazards. These are the major sources of extinctions.
Do you recognize the voice?
No, I've been trying to place it.
His name is MacTaggart Cowan.
Oh, my God.
And he died this year at the age of 99.
Yes.
And he was a great environmental
That is incredible.
Professor at UBC.
Your he campus. Hired me.
Right.
He was my boss.
Yeah.
And he had a television show long before, well, I mean, I say mine was in 62, but that was a local community channel. He had a television show on the delights of biology long before I came to UBC.
David Suzuki remembering MacTaggart Cowan and Science Show number 1, which came from the very same studio as Quirks and Quarks number 1 did in October 1975 when Quirks took off in Canada, still going strong. More from David Suzuki in a few weeks.